Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Webb here at stuweb.com, and it is Tuesday, November the 30th, 2021. And with that said, I have Professor James Fetzer and I have Professor Joe on with me, and I'm going to just let them pick it up. I'm going to ask Jim to step in. And what's on the agenda today, Jim?
Well, Stu, there's some fascinating developments in India. They're trying to force vaccinations in some areas of India. They're going to have no vax, then no food and no fuel, which is outrageous. That's, of course, a negative. On the other hand, you have the world's first COVID injection murder case being brought against Bill Gates in India. This is a very significant positive development. On 25 November, the Indian Bar Association reported murder charges have been filed in India's highest court against two billionaires responsible for the AstraZeneca COVID-19 injection and the murder of a 23-year-old man who was injected with it. The defendants that are named are Bill Gates and an Indian named Adar Poonawalla. The claimant is requesting $134 million U.S. dollars in compensation, and that the defendants undergo lie detector and narco analysis tests. This is a pretty damn interesting development. I'd be very keen on getting your and Joel's thoughts about it.
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay, the entire issue comes down to what is in the vaccine. And the easiest words to say, and this is from Judy Mikovits and the others that have commented on this, it does not carry an antivirus. It has other things in it that manipulate and do something to your DNA system. So what is it that they're doing? And this leads to what Jim said concerning a murder case being brought about by a person who got the shot. Is this a system that's being developed that will eventually, within 5 years, bring down the population of the United States to 100 million, which is connected to what's going on down at the border, where you have another big caravan, 10,000 people this time, heading towards the Texas border. And as Anthony, the real Anthony Aguero, has said, when he was down there interviewing even the illegal alien that was coming in, they were Hondurans, Venezuelans, said, these people here are to replace you. Well, what did Anthony mean by that? In other words, will this shot eliminate the white population? Will it? We have a lot of people that are in emergency centers that are all filled up, and they are not down with COVID. They are down because of the shot that they took. Some of them going back to last May and last March. Is this the Kalergi plan in action? And by the way, this is happening in Europe. People don't realize that all of Europe got bum rushed. You have places in Malmo that you can't go into because there's automatic weapons fire and grenade attacks in Malmo. But yet you have these people that are taking the shot. Is this the way that the, if you want to call them the global elite, are going to downsize everything and maybe take us back to what we would call the fiefdoms, where you can't marry unless you get the king's permission, like in the movie Braveheart? Is this what it's leading to? Think of it, folks. 10,000 people Anthony Guerra, the real Anthony Guerra, AGUERO. Go to YouTube, put that in, and take a look at his videos. And he'll go up and you can see him coming across on the raft. And this business with Abbott saying that he's going to build a wall and he's sending all the personnel. I watched the National Guard in action. I watched the state police in action. All they did was help the illegal alien out of the raft because they can't make an arrest. Why? Because the policy is arrest, detain, and release. All they've got to do is the president has to just pick up the phone, call the head of the Border Patrol, and say, arrest and return. That's all he's got to do. But is that happening? No. And so we have these two catastrophes that are absolutely devastating this economy. You have 50% of the small businesses that will never come back. And they're going to have a revival of the economy? No, they're not. And remember, folks, inflation means the decrease in the power of the dollar to purchase something. Its purchasing power is like less than 1%. 1%, that can buy you anything. And now, here in Arizona, we are actually being bombed rushed from California. Why? Because nobody can pay the rent or the mortgage. What do we mean by that? I have a house in Ventura, California, down on the beach, a little small two-bedroom house, sold for over $850,000. $850,000. And that house is like about 60 years old. Nobody can pay the property tax. I've had two friends that were making six-digit figures, and they couldn't afford the property tax on one of their houses in Montecito, where the property worth of the property went up to $1 million. How are you going to pay the property tax on that? There's a house, an average three-bedroom house, 1.5 baths, an easy $1.8, $1.9 million. And it's not that it's increased in value, it is because the dollar doesn't purchase what it used to purchase. And people cannot afford it, and they're coming over here to Phoenix, and eventually it's going to happen here, where you don't have a place to live. So we have these catastrophes going on. And now we have down at ASU, Rittenhouse was disenrolled from an online class because Mecha went in and complained to the president of ASU, Crow, and they disenrolled him. Whether it was the university or whether it was Rittenhouse's lawyers, I don't know. But he was disenrolled. And tomorrow they're going to have a big protest because Rittenhouse is now being portrayed in the news as a white supremacist murderer. And they're going to have a big protest tomorrow at ASU.
Now, this is Black Lives Matter and Antifa, correct?
It is actually, their actual name is ASU Student Socialists.
I like the name. It probably fits their description.
Now, let me pick up on all the points that Joel's been making so very clearly and forcefully. No question about it that they're targeting white civilization with the vaccines. I don't have any doubt about it. But they're trying to globally reduce the population by as much as 7 billion plus, where the world population today is around 8 billion. They want, by the Georgia Guidestone Collective, to have the world population about 500 million. significance of the number and been told that according to the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, every Jew is entitled to have 40 slaves. And if you calculate the number of Jews in the world times 40, you get around 500 million. Now, I'm not in the position to verify that. I'll just say it would not surprise me. Kyle Rittenhouse, of course, was actually acting in self-defense. It was very clear. We have a meticulous legal analysis by Andrew Branca, B-R-A-N-C-A, who is an expert on self-defense. There are five criteria that include the imminence of the threat, the lethality of the threat, the proportionality of the response, the attempt to evade the threat, and having, you know, no other choice but the act, which were satisfied by all of the five allegations that were, for which Cobb was prosecuted after they removed the phony charge about the illegal possession of a firearm, which only applied if his weapon had a barrel shorter than 16 inches, which it did not. The prosecutors engaged in several forms of misconduct, not only by lodging an unwarranted charge, which the judge dismissed, but by suborning perjury, having the two car lot owners who'd actually been in contact with Kyle to request his assistance in protecting their property, where they had three lots, one of which had been destroyed the night before, and he was there to assist and protect another. He also made any number of, he violated his constitutional rights by raising questions about why he hadn't talked about the case since the time he had first been charged, which of course was his legal right, and the judge had already admonished us not to do it. He violated gun safety practice by picking up the AR-15 and even pointing it at the jury with his finger in the trigger housing group, which is some regard as a form of intimidation. Most significantly, withheld higher quality drone footage that showed, without any doubt, Kyle was acting in self-defense. So since the media didn't get what they wanted, they are just going in and portraying that so Kyle were a white supremacist when he's nothing of the sort. Even during an interview with Tucker Carlson, he reported how he supports BLM and peaceful protests, and he thinks change is needed. So they're making it out as though he actually had shot and killed two blacks and wounded a third, which of course is ridiculous. Actually, all three appear to have been Jewish. One of the curious aspects of this is that Grossenkreutz, the third of the three, who actually was only shot by Kyle when he pointed a pistol at Kyle's head, had a cell phone that for which they had a warrant to download and investigate, where a detective reported it's the first time he's ever known a warrant not to be carried out. I believe it would have revealed coordination with the others that they were trying to nail Kyle to show that if you turn up with a weapon at a protest, that bad things are going to happen to you. And it backfired badly. So the media, which has no principles, no scruples whatsoever, is just making up the fantasy scenario that fits the Democrat agenda. Which has also, by the way, been grossly, even calamitously compromised by having a black guy with a long criminal record run 50 pages, who was a BLM supporter, who was outraged by the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, drive his SUV into a parade of white, mostly white people celebrating Christmas in Waukesha, mowing down over 50, killing at this point in time six. Five adults between the ages of 51 and 83, including three dancing grannies and one of their husbands, and now an 8-year-old boy. That's a real tough nut for them to crack, because their motto, their meme is that blacks are always the victims, that there are only two sides in America. If you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're anyone else, you're the oppressed. This is such a dramatic contradiction. And then we have, in addition, the development in Georgia of the Aubrey trial, where three white guys who appeared to have been rednecks who thought they were carrying out a citizen's arrest were convicted of felony murder, first degree. Anyone who watches the footage can see this was not a planned or intentional action and therefore cannot be felony murder. The highest charge should have been manslaughter, but the point I'm making now again is it contradicts the Democratic narrative, because here you have white men who are being held responsible for the death of a black, which they insist never happens. By the way, the shooting of blacks by whites is relatively rare in America. 10 times more whites are killed by blacks than blacks are killed by whites. 10 times more whites are killed by whites, but 55 times more blacks killed by blacks, including most murders in America with bare hands, strangled to death, beaten to death. So the fact that this Joseph Rosenbaum was lunging at Kyle and threatened to kill him twice did not mean he was unarmed. Moreover, most shooting deaths are with handguns, not with rifles, which is relatively rare. So if anyone digs into the data, they find the whole Democrat narrative has no foundation whatsoever. And I believe that these three developments in Kenosha, Waukesha, and Georgia are devastating, devastating to the critical race theory being promoted by the Democrats.
I'm going to agree with you there, Jim. What do you think, Joe?
Well, let's put a little facts on this. This guy that did Waukesha murdering was out on bail. His bail was $1,000. How is that a man who has a long criminal history is out on $1,000 bail? How did that happen? Well, there is a practice there are too many blacks in prison, therefore, let's not have any bail on any crime. That's essentially what these leftists want. And that's just what's happening. This guy has mowed down all those people because he thinks that. That means he tried to run them down. And he was out on bail for $1,000.
The bail, by the way, was put up by four Jewish women. They got him out on bail. So, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye, in my opinion. Some of the footage, by the way, from Waukesha looks funny. The follow-up footage where you have people who are allegedly attending to the wound of the injured in the road, the distribution on the street is wrong. It looks like it's the wrong part of the street, but they're all huddled around the alleged victims. You can't see any of the victims. There's no surge of EMTs, no string of ambulances. I believe that footage was actually staged, but the actual event that took place was legitimate. You look at the vehicle approaching, taking out the band members, and then, as Joe observed, zigzagging to make sure he gets as many. You see the vehicle bumping over the bodies it's driving over and then making its escape. I believe this was legitimate, but it's peculiar. Maybe the media felt they needed some footage and they couldn't actually show footage of the actual maimed and wounded there, so they improvised and took some stage. But I do not believe that they use that discredits the authenticity of the event, which fits exactly, you know, this contradiction to the DNC line, critical race theory. After all, if they wanted to promote their view, they should have made him a white driver driving through the parade, not a black. That would have been easy to arrange had it been contrived. This all appears to be authentic for someone knowing this fellow, Daryl Brooks, who is another Milwaukee black activist, has declared that maybe the revolution has begun in Wisconsin, whereby the revolution, he's talking about helter skelter, the war between the races Charles Manson was trying to provoke with the Tate LaBianca murders, but was unsuccessful in doing so, in igniting on the ground that he believed that blacks were stronger and would beat the whites, but they're also dumber, and therefore they need leadership, where Charlie and his band would emerge from the hills to offer their leadership of the new nation. I mean, it's an insane scenario, but I think that what's going on here, the Democratic Party is turned into zealous lunatics promoting an ideology that bears no relation to reality, which technically classifies them as insane.
I would venture to guess, and it would make a marvelous story, an investigative story, is to investigate those three women who put up the bail.
Four.
And I would
get women, yeah.
Four women. And I will guarantee you that will never happen. And I will guarantee you probably they represent a very large organization. Could it be George Soros money? Who knows, maybe.
Oh, I don't think that's far-fetched at all.
Follow the money. It always tells you where it goes to. That's the way I've looked at it.
I want to put this out there. Is there a, now this is a little bit of getting away, but it's still part of the program of what we're talking about. Is there going to be a shakeup in the Biden administration? Because I'm noticing several articles that are from the liberal side of things that are really castigating Kamala. Are they trying to get rid of her? And if they're trying to get rid of her, who would they replace her with? Because it would obviously, the Biden administration would obviously need the vice president.
Well, I think the answer to that is very obvious, Joel. They want to replace her with Hillary Clinton. And then they want to find out and have Hillary become the president of the United States. And just as Kamala is universally despised, I don't know anyone who likes Hillary Clinton. She's a nasty person, authoritarian, vindictive, has no redeeming qualities whatsoever, and has perpetrated massive crimes, including murder. So, you know, anyone who wants a scoop on Hillary, go to my blog. Check out on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. The JimTheConspiracyGuy.com, the 65 stories. Scroll down to Pizzagate. And if you have the stomach for it, watch it all the way through, because a horrific event involving Hillary and Huma Abedin murdering a 14-year-old girl is included there. Unbelievably awful.
I think gnews.com, I don't recommend it because you're going to have to clean your browsers off if you go up there, but I would have hooked the link up because of all the videos and stuff from the Biden laptop, and different videos have been posted about Hillary Clinton that were taken down every place else. But gnews.com, folks. Jim.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how they're spying on everybody. And about chemtrails. But Ed Snowden recently came out with something on this, the whistleblower that escaped where Scott Bennett was. They were working the same building there. And he left and blew the whistle on it, got stuck in Russia. Now, he's put out a video that's pretty powerful, according to a couple people. I went to get the video, and it's no longer available. They're knocking everything off the internet. Any information. Now, your website's been attacked. Mine's been attacked. And, I mean, it's bizarre to see the amount of things that are out here that they're trying to destroy everybody's reputation and to try to stop people from coming to your website. But I'll tell you, folks, my site's running real clean. It loads fast, it's clean, and I don't have the problem. But I will tell you this.
Let me throw another story that's a bit more current, because this censorship thing has been with us for years and years and years now. Here we have devastating new January 6th footage. A retired general defies the media, confirms BLM and Antifa were both at the Capitol break-in. In the aftermath of January 6th, the FBI suggested no evidence of BLM or Antifa members participating. However, many with knowledge of the events question that suggestion. In fact, I've reported before how James, a brother of John Sullivan, a prominent Antifa leader, had brought 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol that day. This is from his own brother. So what we have here now is increase a further report in a book, Capital Punishment. January 6th attendees tell the true story instead of the narrative pushed by the establishment media. The film premises Thanksgiving Day, and you can get a copy now. We have not to date seen any evidence of anarchists, violent extremists, or people subscribed to Antifa in connection with the 6th FBI Director Christopher Wray to the Senate Judiciary Committee on March 2nd. Yet, in the film, the retired U.S. Air Force General Thomas McGurney said Wray should not be trusted. J. Edgar would be proud of Director Wray. He's corrupt. We know Black Lives Matter was there. We've identified them and Antifa. If you're tired of being lied to by capital punishment now and get the truth, John Guidolo, who previously served as an FBI liaison to the U.S. Capitol Police, also confirmed the presence of these groups and said they were everywhere. Rich Katowski, CEO of a life insurance company called Philanthropic Life, said he saw a man on a military-style microphone telling participants who were in the Capitol building where to go. He wasn't a participant. He was a director. The events of January 6th consisted of much more than just supporters of former President Trump entering the Capitol. Capital punishment seeks to tell the truth, the whole story of these events, and it sure as hell sounds to me to be a whole lot closer to what actually happened than what we've been told by the mainstream. Stu, I really have no real doubt about it.
Yeah, I know. It's all a bunch of bogus stuff going on. Now, we know that they're trying to destroy us, Jim, and we talk about it all day long, but chemtrails are part of it. HARP is part of it, weather wars, and I predicted they would do a crazy stuff with the weather, but they haven't done it yet this year. I thought it'd come in October like it did last year here in Kansas City area with a blizzard, and that didn't happen, but they're moving around because of the noise. I'm seeing something kind of strange, but I'm calling it citizen journalism, patriots journalism. You put something out, it spreads like wildfire. I put something out, it spreads like wildfire. People pass it. And we're seeing that more than ever because the videos pop up, people see them, huge views on it within 24 to 48 hours, and then they're pulling them down once they realize that they're up there. So, anyway, what's your opinion of that?
Is the nose on your face, Stu. Of course, 100%, that's what's going on. There's no room for doubt about this.
Okay.
It's unsurprising. They want to have only one side of the story told on any of these issues so that they can have more effective propaganda and control. It's precisely what Alex Jones identified way back when. We're talking about information warfare. Psychological operations that are intended to brainwash the American people, where it's been accurately observed that television is the greatest brainwashing mechanism ever designed by the hand of man. Joel, your thoughts?
Absolutely, because you can see it everywhere. When you look at regular TV, when you say, is there really CRT on regular TV? All you have to do is count the number of blacks that are now appearing in an advertisement. Like, for instance, if you have five character actors putting on a show for an advertisement, at least three to four of them will be black. That's part of a subtle program of censorship, changing the narrative, and promoting their agenda.
Yeah, no question about it. One of the bizarre aspects is how unattractive. These are large, fat women who are black women. They're not remotely attractive. It's very strange. It's like they're shoving this down our throats. And, of course, you have I'd say this is 50 to 60% of the advertising, even though blacks in America are only like 18%. So it's grossly disproportional, very, very strange, and I have no doubt it's all completely deliberate by design.
Right now, now they have out at Scottsdale Unified School District, where you have parents coming in and complaining to the Board of Education concerning CRT. And the Board of Education, no, we don't have CRT, yada, yada. But yet, parents would present, well, what is this? What is this? And it turns out that the president of the school board was having detectives follow individual parents, and he was collecting data to make into a dossier on the most vocal of those parents. Talk about censorship. That's it, right there.
Yeah, of course. This is grotesque.
Remember, folks, it is a very subtle thing. In other words, part of this making the white man ashamed of himself, that's the psychological end of it, to make the white man ashamed of himself, destroy gender so that there's no boy, girl, no man, woman, they're just genders. It doesn't matter what. But yet, you find this on TV now. There are programs of where I'm watching, one of them being Nash Bridges, where all of these characters would wear this colorful clothing. And Nash Bridges was, you know, many years ago. But it turned out that those are the rainbow colors for LGBT. All of this is very subtle, and they've been pushing this. Again, what is the agenda on this? What is the agenda? And this is the very thing that happened during the Bolshevik Revolution. As Solzhenitsyn said, it was not a revolution that took place with an uprising among the populace. It was an invasion by individuals from Brooklyn, New York, and other places, and the majority were Jewish.
Gentlemen,
we've seen the very same thing, because one of the things they did was to empty out the prison and make thugs and use them as their foot soldiers. Thus, we have now, for instance, here in the United States, for 1 year, this is 2017, and I'm sure it's increased, there were 720,000 assaults of black on white. There were 56,000 assaults of white on black. There were 420,000 Hispanic assaults on white, and 100,000 assaults of white on Hispanic. And what's interesting about all of this is, black on black was totally off the chart. Those statistics are very interesting. Where we have, hey, it's the white man who's at fault. You see, because he's the one that started this a long time ago, and the real history of the United States really started in 1619, because that's when they brought in the first slaves. And this is what's being taught at universities, of course, and Jim, being an ex-college professor, can attest to that. Jim, what are your thoughts?
Yes, of course, yes. I mean, it's all terrible. I mean, the United States, I think, has been the least racist country in the world, but they're trying to make it the most. And this is a deliberate provocation to destroy our culture, our values, our mores, part and parcel of the looting, the riots, and destruction of businesses, but also removing statues to great Americans that are a kind of psychic cement that holds the nation together, where we show respect for other Americans, even though we may have disagreed with them about, for example, whether states have the right to secede from the Union or not. I mean, this is pretty stunning stuff, all things considered.
And by the way, folks, there is a trial that is still going on of white men being on trial. Now think about that. Rittenhouse, okay, the Arby case, and there is another one called Charlottesville. Could you comment on that?
Well, sure, the whole thing's outrageous. I mean, the fellow, this James Field, wasn't even driving the car. I mean, we had the video, we had the images. It was a 32-year-old military veteran in command of battalion of reservists in Ohio who's driving the car, not James Field, this 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic who wears thick prescription glasses. I mean, it's just outrageous what's going on here. Yeah, I've made many efforts to inform persons I thought were responsible, including the members of the Department of History at the University of Virginia, where I myself taught twice, once as a visiting associate, subsequently as a visiting full professor, who showed not the least interest in the evidence I was presenting, showing the whole thing was a sham. Terry McAuliffe, of course, was governor at the time. He appears to have been the manager of the whole event, having the mayor of Charlottesville have the local police stand down so he could use the Virginia State Police to channel the peaceful protesters into a violent confrontation with Black Lives and Antifa members who'd been bussed in by George Soros, typically on the same bus, to create a great to-do, and then where they had this orchestrated event of a alleged crash into the crowd that was all totally fake. We have two or even three takes. There were two different Dodge Challengers, one with a racing stripe, one without, one with a sunroof, one without. In one of the takes, you have the vehicle crashing into the back of two vans where the drivers had got out of the vehicle so they wouldn't suffer whiplash from the crash. And then he backs up with skill that would do credit to a NASCAR driver. I was just astonished watching him back out of the scene. Then we have a second where there's no vehicles whatsoever in the vicinity. And then a third where there's a black Toyota pickup truck and you see bodies flying through the air, stuntmen who are waiting, you know, for their opportunity. This whole thing is totally outrageous. If you want the topper, the woman, Susan Rowe, who's supposed to be the mother of Heather Heyer, allegedly died during the crash, actually died the following day of a heart attack. So I think they seized upon her death from a heart attack to make it out as though she died from the crash, is played by the same crisis actress who played Donna Soto in this Sandy Hook, to be the mother of Victoria Soto, one of the presumptive teachers at Sandy Hook. In other words, this is so in our face. It's insulting beyond belief. But most Americans just can't wrap their minds around it and remain ignorant and gullible and easy to manipulate to this day.
And we also might comment on that the people that did go to Charlottesville were there to honor the statue of Lee. They were guided down a tunnel of police officers. The police officers were facing inboard, not outboard, facing Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And that's where these people who were supporting keeping the statue were pelted with objects. And the same thing on their egress. Police were facing inboard, not outboard, meaning if they were there to protect the people who were looking at, you know, supporting the statue, the police would be facing the antagonists, which were on the outside of this area. The police were facing in the opposite direction. So the whole thing, we know, as Jim has said, this was a setup, and it was meant to support that the white man is the bad guy and needs to be eliminated from this planet. Who's the racist? Them.
Yes.
And it is
Go ahead.
It is an end entire propaganda machine that's going on. Example, they had two women facing some young guys that were inside an area that was supposed to be designated as a neutral area. And they had their computers on. They were reading Blue Lives Matter. They produce a, what is called Police Tribune, where it follows crime throughout the United States. And these two young women began harassing them and screaming and hollering, which kept on for about 10 minutes. Finally, the police arrived. Guess who had to leave? The two young men. Why? For the sake of peace. Wait a minute. We're here supposedly in this library. We have a right to be here. Make them leave. We didn't come over and start arguing. They did. So more incidences like this. That's a good thing. This is how many days, Jim, of the Portland riots by Antifa and BLM? 159th day? Yeah. And what are they doing? Burning down the federal center. And here's something for you folks to think about. There's a little donut shop in Portland called Voodoo Donuts. Voodoo Donuts, which puts in donut form genitalia and satanic symbols. What does that have to do with all of this? Well, could it be that the Satanists are at play and have a large presence there in Portland? It's a very interesting thing to think about.
It is interesting. Now, Jim, what else you got?
Well, I think everyone knows that this new virus is an anagram of moronic, and I think that tells us what this is all about, that the American people are being played again and again and again. Omicron, rearrange the letters, moronic, that's where we stand. They're playing us, it's insulting beyond belief. It even appears to be derived from a futuristic sci-fi production in 1999 where there was a similar viral attack, which I think is part of predictive programming, planting the seeds of what's going to happen in the future, just as Bill Gates was so eager to conduct these symposia around the world explaining the greatest threat to the world and its future was not nuclear warfare, about which virtually everyone would agree, but a new viral pandemic, which he could talk about with great authority since he was involved, engaged in its planning and introduction, just disgusting beyond belief. So I'm just ecstatic that India is holding him to account. I believe this is only the first of what will be many, many similar suits that will be brought.
I hope there are. I hope they put an end to this because it's nutty. We're going to end up taking out 2/3 of the population before this is over with. I see it coming.
Well, you know, Stu, what is happening to you here with this, with your up-and-coming trial, where this woman has very stealthily picked out criminal activity in Stu Rapp's area and listed all of these criminal activities for a week. And what does she do? Put Stu's name in the middle. Is that a smear campaign? Stu brought it to me.
Yeah. Falsely arrested for supposedly having a gun, Jim. I wasn't pointing a gun at anybody. I took her picture. I've been taking the pictures of my stalkers because I was going to file federal restraining orders against them for the week. I had the Joint Task Force group all over me. And so I took her picture, pissed her off, and then she runs in the back of me 13 miles later to let me know she's there. I get out of the car, told her she's under citizen's arrest. She wouldn't get out of her car, so I pulled the parking lot, called the police, and I'm videotaping her. Well, she's got me blocked in saying, "Oh, I just got out of the car. He pointed a gun at me. Oh, I'm so scared."
Well,
The audio, folks, is up on my internet set, by the way. But there wasn't any gun. The cops didn't find a gun. But they arrested me because she was an FBI troll. She's a stalker. One of the joint task force group, they call them. They hire nutcases. They go around and stalk you and try to run into you and do different things. I've had this going on for years. But in the past, and just within that month prior to her pulling this and then falsely arresting me, I had them all over me trying to kill me. There were 4 or 5 incidents. Their car, going to car crash me, and it didn't happen. This is what they do it. Take you out. But that's coming up. They're getting ready to get, they're getting ready to get creamed. They don't even know what they're going to get yet. Anyway.
So you're doing a great job, my friend, and it's always a pleasure to join you and Joel for these conversations and updates for the benefit of the American people. I can't thank you enough for persevering against very powerful forces that are adverse to the best interests of the American people.
It is with all of us, Jim. And, Joe, you have any last words?
Yeah, just one thing. If you folks, one of the big plays that they're making is the border. And the only person that I know of that is showing the border the way that it is, so that those of you that live up in Wisconsin and Minnesota and want to know what the border is like, there's only one person that will show you. It's kind of a little boring, but he lets you look to see what it's like to be on the border. And that is Real, R-E-A-L, Anthony Aguero, spelled A-G-U-E-R-O. And he is an amateur. He's not a professional. And he shows you. And he will introduce you even to some of the Venezuelans and some of the Hondurans and Guatemalans that are coming across and where they're going. He gives you a good view. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, Professor James Fetzer, thank you very much for being on. And Professor Joel, I appreciate it. And you two have a good day.
All right.
Okay. Thank you both.
You got it, Stu.
Thanks.